Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Bankroll Burners, the podcast for poker players who can't stop getting it in bad. I'm Mike,
And I'm Josh.
and we are here, as always, to bring you some badly played hands of poker of No Limit Texas Hold'em, and we're going to review them and talk about how we maybe could have done it better.
Yeah, we definitely could have. And I mean, I'm happy to just jump right in into a place, into a spot where I definitely could have. I mean, both my hands, I think, follow a theme that you'll quickly see.
Is the theme that you're bad?
That theme, I think, really goes across all of our hands.
Absolutely. I mean, just so our viewers know, we are losing players at the lowest stakes. I mean, nothing we t say should ever be taken as good advice. So,
Although, could just be sample size, I tell myself, hopefully.
of course. I mean, in the long term, I'm sure we're profitable.
Oh yeah, we just stomp. We would Brad who?
Bradley who?
Oh man. All right. Well, for this hand, both these hands actually are going to be played at a 1-3 table at Encore Boston Harbor, which of course is the room I played at the most and have gotten crushed at the most this year. Definitely a combination: play bad, run bad, high rake, all the great factors, but mostly play bad if we're being honest. And this 1-3 table was a ton of fun. There were a few guys who were like total nits and giving no action, but it seemed like the rest of the table actually like picked up on that and didn't give them action, which was just glorious to see. Like one of the nits that I have played with several times and is always like tries to be talkative and then just keeps being nitty and annoying. Actually wound up switching tables at some point because he was just getting no action and I was just totally in love with
Yeah,
that.
punish the knit. Never pay off the knit.
This particular player, I'll just quickly say, is very, very funny to me because every single hand he will like look down at his cards and he'll be like, ah, like so close and then fold. Like every hand, and
Yeah, I mean, ace queen, fold.
yeah, it's
Easy.
just so funny to
A
watch. Like,
close queen playable.
should I play my pocket eights from the button? No, that would be ridiculous. So really, really good time. He was seated on my left, which was even better. Love
Nice.
if you've got to play with nits, put them on your left.
Absolutely. All
But
right, so
other than that, there
what's
were a
this
bunch
like?
of players who were good for action. There were lots of bluffs happening, just very talkative table. And in this particular spot, the effective stack's going to be around 450 in this 1-3 game. I will say the straddle was on occasionally, but not that often. And this hand is going to start with a hijack limp, so it folds all the way around to the hijack who limps. I am in the cutoff with four of spades, four of diamonds, and I open it up to 15.
Okay.
I probably, I might overlimp in certain scenarios if I'm in the cutoff. If there have been multiple limps in front of me, I might consider overlimping depending on the players behind. But in the cutoff, I think this is a pretty straightforward open.
I mean, I think you could in these stakes, you can get away with limping these hands. Like nobody's gonna pick up on what you're doing when you're like only limping behind with like these pocket pairs. Like you're just not gonna get exploited back most of the time at these stakes for doing that. But that being said, it's ha happy to play a pot in position with a limper, so what the heck?
Yeah, and
Right?
I like I said, I really don't expect the button behind me to be doing any calling. But he does in this case, actually. The button, the big blind, and the limper all call.
Okay. All right. Not ideal.
So, we don't love playing three-way pots, but that's life. Or
Yeah,
four-way
I mean,
pots.
I think it's sort of rough here. Like, I think it's very hard for you to win this in this spot in this setup. With your specific holding, I think it's going to be very hard for you to win the spot. So.
Well, that's not going to stop me from trying. The flop is going to come out: Queen of Clubs, Eight of Diamonds, Three of Hearts, Queen Eight, Three Rainbow, kind of the quintessential, nothing burger
Yep.
of a board. And it checks to me.
Okay.
And I've been doing a lot of checking in multi-way spots, but I think that this is a board that even multi-way we can probably see bet a lot. Just because it is so dry, we have such a range advantage. Like, obviously, heads up in position, this is just I think this board is 100% c bet. So
Yeah,
I kind
makes
of think,
sense.
you know what? I think I should be doing a little bit more c betting here, even multi-way. And so I'm gonna do that.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I just kind of I want to go into this having some kind of game plan, like what are we gonna do, when we're called in one spot? Because we're almost always going to get called in one spot. And then it's like, what sort of turn cards are we looking for to continue barreling? Like, if we are called, we're almost never going to be good here, you know, at this point.
Yeah.
So like, you know, and it's like, okay, we can't, we probably can't range bet this board because, like, even though it's a good board, like, we probably can't be betting this board with literally all of our hands because it's just like, we're not going to have that. We're not going to have enough good double barrels. You know, we're going to be just over bluffing flop and then giving up on too many turns. So I do still think we need to be selective about the hands we bet with.
Yeah. And I think there are hands that I'm happy to check here that maybe have a, I mean, I definitely would be checking hands like pocket nines and pocket tens and probably some eights as well, just because those hands like can be ahead.
I would hope you wouldn't be checking eights actually.
I mean, like 8X is what
Yeah.
Hands like 8X, like hands that maybe have a little more value. My thought here is, you know, I guess my thought process is my plan is to really double barrel a lot on like over cards, possibly, and you know, possibly if like the turn goes check, you know, that also kind of gives another opportunity for an over card to come out that I can kind of represent. You know, not really expecting any folds from Queen X at this point, probably not even a lot of folds from 8X. I mean, this is a pretty loose table, like I said, but I think, you know, if a king comes on the turn and I barrel kind of twice more, you know, and obvious draws don't really complete, then that felt like a good opportunity.
Yeah, I don't know if this hand has the right characteristics of a triple barrel. It's kind of going to depend on the runout. But I don't mind. As long as you're planning to double barrel on, like, range favorable cards here, I think this is probably fine, as long as you're not always doing it with, like,
right.
10-7 or something, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's definitely the case too. And is this hand, I guess, to me felt like a hand that could double barrel on range favorable cards versus hands like double backdoor type hands that would rather be double barreling on hands on boards where they pick up equity.
Sure.
A hand like whatever, 9-7 of spade, 9-7 of clubs here, which would be like a, you know, backdoor straight, backdoor flush draw. Might not want to barrel when a king comes, like a rainbow king comes out, for example.
Right. Yeah. So,
So I don't know. I don't know if that's right, but I've kind of been trying to do a little bit more like C betting. Also, I feel like I've veered a little bit back too much towards the C bet not enough. Even though, I mean, I know kind of you're not supposed to C bet all that often. You know, as often as some people may think.
Yeah, it's always a balance. So okay, I'm fine with this bet. What happens?
So I bet 20, which is a third pot. Okay. And let me just see, just only the big blind calls. And the big blind is a guy who was very friendly, very, very nice dude. He was playing a lot of hands. He had a huge stack. He probably had like $1,500, $2,000 on the table, at 1-3, which is quite a lot. You know, gave a lot of action, had already shown down a number of bluffs. So definitely playing more than his fair share of hands, which is awesome. And as he calls, everybody else folds. The turn now rolls off the king of clubs.
And so what do you have behind now? I'm sorry.
So there's about $100 in the pot. I've got about $415 behind.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, it's interesting that the big blind calls here, of course, because this player does have someone behind them. They should theoretically have a little stronger of a hand than, you know, maybe just a gutter or something. But then again, people could show up here with gutters. So what
especially with the backdoor flush draw, someone could definitely show up with like Jack 10 of diamonds.
Sure. And so I'm sorry, what's the turn here again?
So the turn is now going to come off the king of clubs. So it is one of those over cards that does bring in a backdoor club draw. This board is now queen 8-3 king with two clubs.
And you do not have a club.
I do not have a club.
Okay. Now, I don't know if it's that relevant given that your hands are fours, but you know, it would be better to have a club here, of course.
And the big blind does check again. And I kind of think, you know, I mean, if I bet the flop and I got I don't want to have too many just bluff flop give up, especially multi-way. So, you know, this is an over card. This card should smash my range. You know, I should have plenty of King X here. You know, King X with a backdoor, hands like that. And so I want to put Queen X into a tough spot. So when he checks to me, I decide to bet 75.
Okay, was there ever a consideration to overbetting here?
Possibly. I don't know that I don't know that I have the volume of hands that want to overbet here.
I mean, I think you should be overbetting any king in this spot, pretty much. your opponents should never have a king unless they have specifically king queen, which they shouldn't really.
Or king eight suited, I guess, but there's only two combos of that really.
Sure, yeah. So yeah, I mean, they should almost never have a king. So I actually like an overbet here mostly. I think is would be if the sizing to take. I think.
Do you think our hand is like makes a good candidate for betting that sizing?
Well, that's a separate question of what sizing should we take.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. But so I mean, if we're going to be overbetting, you know, we obviously don't need as many bluffs. However, if you're going to be betting a large volume of hands on this flop, then you are going to show up with a lot of value here. I mean, you're going to have a crap ton of King X, right? If you're opening on the from the cutoff, you're probably opening a lot of King X.
Well, if we're overbetting, we need more bluffs, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, what am I talking about? But yeah, yeah. So we need more bluffs. So we have a large. Well, I'm saying we have a lot of value here. So we also need a lot of bluffs, I guess. So I think it's fine to use this hand. Like, I mean, what would obviously you have equity driven bluffs here. You've got plenty. You know.
Yeah, plenty of double backdoors that actually picked up a club draw, or yeah. You know, a hand like Jack 10 picks up equity.
Yeah, absolutely. So you definitely have like equity driven bluffs. In terms of non equity bluffs, you know, I guess you want to be you want to be blocking their strongest hands. So you want to have something that like, you know, like you want to block the likely queen. So it'd be nice to have like a jack or a 10 in your hand.
Although then, of course, we probably also have an equity-driven bluff, because if we have a jack or a 10, we probably have a hand like jack 10.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it'd be better to have a club. You know, if you were looking like in your in-game, you're like a heuristic, trying to just on the fly kind of have some kind of heuristic of like, how am I going to decide whether or not to double barrel? It's like, well, I want to have a club. And then maybe, you know, just to slightly decrease the probability that this player has a flush draw, which they might continue with. So...
True. Although it there may be, I mean, what do you think about, you know, sort of putting 4-4 with a club into sort of the barrel, or yeah, 4-4 without a club into barrel turn and then check back rivers, non-club rivers, because you if you want to unblock the, like, if I don't have a club, then I can check back rivers and win sometimes, right, against like club draws.
Interesting.
But also, how many hands that contain the four of clubs should this guy really have?
Calling... Right, it's just like at least four of clubs and like 5-4 of clubs, right?
But why is he calling that hand on the flop?
Maybe.
It seems a little optimistic.
Yeah, fair enough.
To think that it's super relevant.
Yeah, it probably doesn't matter. You're right. So I don't know. I mean, what would you want to give up with here? I guess. Like, I mean, are you doing this with fives? Are you doing this with sixes? Like, is it better to have fives or sixes than fours? Like,
I mean, it feels like it's pretty kind of the same to have all those hands, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you're, are you doing this with just ace highs? You know, are you checking back the ace highs? Would you rather bet the fours and check back the ace highs? Like, I don't know. I would maybe think the reverse, that you'd rather check back the fours because you have a bit of showdown value. So, right. I don't know.
It's actually interesting, right? Because the aces have like more outs, you would think.
Right. So maybe you just want to take your equity and like try to realize. And check the aces and bet the fours. I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I've been trying to incorporate this a little more where, like, you know, if you are gonna be raising like the small pocket pairs a lot pre-flop, then you kinda need to find spots to bluff with them. Otherwise you're just like bloating the pot for no reason when you're unlikely to hit a set.
That's true, but you have to also think about what boards are favorable to use pocket pairs as bluffs, and it's usually boards where you don't have a lot of logical bluffs otherwise, which isn't the case here. I mean, you actually have a lot of logical bluffs here.
Right.
So, I don't know. I don't think it's, like, terrible to be betting this hand. I just think that I'm concerned that we may not have, like, a good heuristic in place for, like, when to check or not.
That's certainly possible.
Yeah, but anyway, I would use an overbet here.
Well, and I guess if we were going to overbet, we probably should just pot it and go geometric, right? Because there's a bet. So the SPR is 4-1. So if we potted it, then and he called, then the pot and the stack would both be about 300.
Yeah, it's interesting. Is it one of those spots where you actually do want to overbet a turn, even though it's non-geometric, which would be like usually on very draw-heavy boards, which this isn't really.
I wouldn't say it's overly draw heavy.
So yeah, I would be fine with just potting it. I don't really know why to use this sizing you chose though.
Yeah, I was just like, you know, I mean, it's big. I was like, I need to bet big. But not big. Yeah, not great sizing.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, especially in position, I think you want to generally size up a little bit. I mean, set, like 3/4 in position is like small, quote unquote. So right. Yeah, okay. But you bet 3/4, and what does he do?
And the villain calls.
Okay. Yeah, now you've got sort of a pretty awkward SPR at this point.
Right. Yes, I agree. I don't think I played this hand great. Anyway, well, that's why we're here.
What else is new?
That's why we're here. River is now going to roll off the 7 of clubs.
Interesting.
And
so
fill in checks.
Nothing comes in, I believe.
The flush backdoor flush draw comes in. But I don't really, again, I think that I don't really expect him to show up here with a lot of flushes. Possibly 8x of clubs.
Yeah, I was going to say 8x of clubs.
But that's very, I mean, I don't know. That's not many combos. But I don't know.
However, you're now losing to pretty much everything that he called the turn with, other than, I guess, like Jack 10.
Still, Jack 10, maybe like Ace Jack, Jack 10, 9 10, but that seems.
But I don't really think you have showdown value, bottom line.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
That doesn't mean you should bet, though.
Right.
I mean, one thing we have to consider on these not changing cards is that a lot of your bluffs on the turn get there.
Right.
So you need to make sure you still have enough bluffs on the river that don't get there. Otherwise, you know, people can overfold against you if you, you know, if players are thinking at that level here. Unlikely. So, yeah, what were you thinking?
Well, I was kind of thinking I should bet here, and I guess my thought is that like his range is still very like Queen X heavy, and like this like he can't have Queen X of clubs because the Queen is a club, so a lot of his Queen X is gonna put a lot of his Queen X in a pretty tough spot. It's mostly my thought process.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't hate it. I mean, you can't continue here with all your bluffs, for sure. You have to have some give-ups.
Right.
Certainly, hands without a club make sense as give-ups. I mean, hands without a club make sense as give-ups. So, again, that might be a good reason to give this one up. If you're wanting to bet, what kind of sizing are you wanting?
I don't know. I guess I was probably thinking to go somewhat on the smaller side, given that sort of it is like a pretty nut, like the board has kind of changed so dynamically. I feel like taking a large sizing doesn't make a ton of sense.
I don't know about that, because to your point, he shouldn't really have a lot of flushes, whereas you can have a good amount of them. So I would say it does make sense to use a large sizing. I mean, typically, like, it's not a spot where, you know, all of your best hands have been upgraded and his best hands have been downgraded that severely, I guess. Like, that's usually when you want to take a small sizing, I think, on the river, is when, like, most of their strong hands have been severely downgraded, which I don't really think is the case here. Like, I don't think a queen is severely downgraded on this card. Like, because you don't have that many flushes. You have more than him, but you don't have, like, a crap ton or something.
Right.
Especially because the king and queen of clubs are out there.
That's true. I guess also, you know, if a lot of our bluffs got there, we kind of have, like, a lot of value we want to bet.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's, I don't know. I was kind of thinking, like, I feel like I just have a lot, you know, I have a bunch of flushes, I have a bunch of king X that are all going to want to bet. So that kind of makes me think I should take a small sizing when I have a lot of value.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe what I said is
but I don't know. Sizing on flush completing cards is complicated, and I'm not very good at it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It makes sense that you have a lot of value here, so you don't want to like make it too easy for him to just fold a lot. So you don't want to go huge. Fair enough, but that means you don't need as many bluffs if you're going to take a smaller sizing.
That's true. I mean, what other bluffs do we show up with? I guess we show up with Jack 10 here. Sure. Jack 10's probably better. Well, Jack 10, I guess, blocks If we assume we have like Jack 10 suited without like not clubs,
you even have Jack 10 offsuit here probably.
Yeah, so like Jack 10 offsuit with a club is probably like our best bluff.
Well, but it's a bricked draw though. Like, I mean, well, no, but with a club, yeah, I would say Jack 10 without a club is actually pretty bad because we're blocking his
queen X.
We're blocking the hands we want to call, and we're blocking his brick draws. So, I think that would be pretty. I think that would be the like a very straightforward give up would be like Jack 10 no club. Like Ace X with the Ace of clubs, I think is probably a good hand to blast here.
Yeah, I guess if we have like Ace Jack offsuit is probably the prime, and Ace 10 offsuit are probably the primary candidates we're barreling with.
I think we don't want a Jack or a 10, right? So
but we don't. We're probably not. I don't know that I'm opening like Ace
that many offsuit aces.
Yeah, right? That many offsuit aces, right?
Yeah, and then you know I think we could also probably give up our smaller straight draws too,
like five, like 9-10.
Like a 9-10 type of hand, probably give that up. Yeah, 9-10. I mean, I guess we don't have that many logical give ups. Like, I don't know. To me, like, I would be fine to just give up this hand personally. I think this hand's a fine give up. I think we have enough, like, you know, ace X with ace of clubs, Jack 10 with a club type of holdings. You know, pocket pairs with a club also.
Yeah.
Like I think it would like on the fly heuristic of like, oh, I'm gonna give up here when I don't have a club is like probably fine. So I would probably give up this hand up.
Well, I bet half pot, 125.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's fine.
Yeah, like, I agree. I mean,
I'm so afraid we're gonna get called by a queen for half pot sizing is the thing.
Yeah, I mean it's weird, you know. I feel like it could go either way, but we don't have to worry about that because he pretty much snap calls with King Jack of diamonds.
Oh, okay.
Which, you know, I mean, I kind of knew. I obviously was never going to get a king to fold.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I just worry about this half pot sizing. It's just like we're just going to get too many. Like, it's we're just going to get called too often with even our strong, like, even great bluffs, you know, with, like, the ace-jack or whatever.
Right, like, but if we have enough value, like, that's okay. You know, if we are structuring correctly, which I guess I don't know that we are. Right, but would need to. It's why I feel like we've been talking about this a lot over the last couple weeks, the last few episodes. Is really, you know, it's good to have actual plans and like know what your range looks like, so that you know what sizing you should be taking. Because every sizing you take should be based on your sizing, should be a certain percentage of bluffs and value to give your opponents the right, you know, the sort of right price, you know, that to make them
like. Have to think about it,
right? And it is possible that if I'm betting half pot and I'm including pocket fours without a club, then I am over bluffing. But yeah. I would need to actually look at my exact value range, you know, which is probably like most kings, maybe not like king nine specifically.
I guess here's my concern. I think that a queen is a straightforward call versus a half pot size bet versus like a three quarters. Even it's probably indifferent. Like if I had a queen in his spot, I'm calling you on the river. Like I am, you know, like, I guess it depends what my other card is, but like, I'm probably going to call a lot with a queen versus a half pot size bet. Whereas versus a three quarters pot size bet, I will still call with the queen, but it's probably pretty indifferent. Like I will call sometimes.
You know it's
I mean?
It's kind of interesting from sort of the villain's perspective too, because like a lot of their queens are going to like block all my bluffs. You know, like queen jack, queen 10, queen nine are weird. Cause it's like, they block all the bluffs.
It's true.
So funky.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, if I had like a club as my other card, I'd probably call and I fold. If I don't, but I also think that versus a half pot size bet, like I only have to be good one out of four times. Like, yeah, I'll flick it in with the queen.
Right. So it's as I said, it's very important to actually know your ranges. Like, for me to bet half pot here, it's probably pretty important that I'm actually bluffing. You know, at the correct frequency, you know, one out of three times or so.
Yeah. Yeah, and also him having King Jack of Diamonds makes literally no sense. He should never be calling that in the flop with a guy behind. So.
Right. Two guys behind, out of position to everyone.
Yeah.
I know, but I was like, yeah, of course I'm never getting a king to fold, so whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that's yeah. I mean, nothing you can do.
It kind of makes our whole exercise moot, because it's like, wow, I was really interested. I'm sure you were thinking, wow, I really am interested to see if he calls with his queen, and then he just had a hand that he should always call turn and river with.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, whatever.
So anyway, good. Another great exercise in learning the structure. Or not, as the case may be.
Or not. All right.
So let's move on.
All right, so this, I'm changing it up a bit this week. I've got some hands from our online home game, our 25-cent, 50-cent online home game we play. And in this particular hand, we are sitting about $75 effective, so 150 bigs with the main villain. And we are sitting with in the cutoff with 10-8 of clubs. And it folds to us, and we go ahead and open it up to $1.50, pretty standard from the cutoff here.
Yep, I agree.
And it folds to the big blind, who calls?
Oh, man, I hope you ran this through a solver.
I did not, actually. I should have, you're right. The flop comes... 3 of hearts, 6 of spades, 10 of hearts.
So 10 of hearts, 6 of spades, 3 of hearts.
Yeah.
So we've got ourselves top pair.
Yeah, we got top pair.
It's hard to make top pair.
It's yeah, I'm pretty pleased with it. The big blind does check, and I think we should continue here.
I agree.
You should see bet this board. It's like it's a pretty neutral board overall. So
well, neutral right. Boards favor us.
Yeah. So I'm happy to bet. I bet $1.50 again. I could have gone $1.25, I suppose.
But no, I like kind of betting. I I actually do kind of like betting a little bit bigger on like kind of neutral boards, just to kind of, I don't know, just like feels like you have such, you can just put a lot of pressure on with sort of your whole range because you have so many strong hands. Like you have all the strongest hands here, and it's really tough for you, for the villain to have anything unless they have a set, like something really exactly. Strong. I mean.
Yeah, exactly. They can't. There's very few two pairs to show up with here. So they do go ahead and call, though.
Awesome. I mean, this is just playing out smooth for us.
Yeah, so far so good. The turn is kind of interesting. It's the 9 of diamonds. So it does not introduce a second flush draw. It's still only front door hearts. It does introduce, I think, a lot of pair plus straight draw type of hands.
Sure. Like 9, 8, 10. I mean, your hand. Is even one, but like if it like 6, 7, 6, 8, 9, 8, 9, 7, those sort of hands.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, you know, it introduces another possible set. But it's, you know, villain checks. And I guess I wasn't totally sure if I should bet this card because I expected to get check raised a decent amount. You know, I'm playing online here. I'm not playing it in a live game. So there's actually some frequency of check raising that happens. And I don't think my hand loves getting check raised. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, I feel like our hand, I don't know. I think online, like our hand can probably bet call a check raise. Because like we have a 10, so we block like all the credible two pairs that our opponent has. We block an 8, which blocks 7, 8. Or we have an 8, like our opponent can't have a straight at this point. And we don't have any hearts, so it feels like, given our specific hand, like when our villain check raises, they have a lot of bluffs. Sure. But of course, that kind of thinking has gotten me into a lot of trouble live. Because, you know, when you get check raised on the turn live, you're just always behind with this hand.
Yeah, very likely so, anyway. Yeah, I did end up betting, but I wasn't really sure about that. I thought that like I could definitely be bloating the pot sort of by betting here, where I might not need to, because I can bet most rivers for value is the thing. Like if I get checked to me on the river, like I could, even if it's like an overcard, you know, I feel like I could pretty comfortably bet
sure
on the river to get value from all sorts of, you know, 6x whatever type holdings, or sevens, pocket sevens, you know, pocket fives even may call it a river bet. So I think there are merits. I also think that I would never take this hand for 3 streets, right? So is it better to try to get that second street on the turn or on the river here? I mean, you know, if I'm, we're deep enough that I would never take this hand for three streets, to clarify. I mean, on certain stack depths that you can take this hand for three streets.
I think that's a reasonable point. And like, we definitely, as you kind of say, I mean, and as you're, I guess, implying, we have a lot of like Broadway type hands that would want to check back here to try and realize some equity. Like a lot of like ace high type hands that we might just think, well, let's just, you know, we kind of want to check back here, make sure we get to showdown. And so it's nice to have some sort of made hands that also take that line.
Yeah.
To be able to value bet some like low cards and stuff like that to bet to balance. So I could probably go either way, honestly. I think betting is fine with top pair, especially like a nice top pair like ours that has some of those good qualities. But checking back for all the reasons you stated, like pot control and balance, all kind of make sense.
Yeah. Well, I did end up betting. I was pretty uncertain in the moment. What if we're gonna bet? What type of sizing would you take?
I don't know. Turn sizing's hard, man. I'd want to bet somewhat large. I don't know that an overbet is correct here. The board's kind of, you know, connected at this point. So I'd probably still bet, you know, maybe now's a good time for like a three quarters type sizing.
Yeah, that's what I did. I bet 468. I just pressed the three quarters button. So.
nice.
And
I'm just gonna put 450 for easy tracking.
Yes, please go ahead. And Villain goes ahead and raises it to $13.
Yeah. I mean, I see your point. It's definitely kind of annoying to get raised, but I feel like we kind of have to call. Like, we have a straight draw, we have top pair, and, like, Villain just has a ton of bluffs here.
I agree. It's just, like, we sort of go from feeling pretty good about this hand to feeling pretty bad about it, and I think that when that happens in poker, I feel like you've made a mistake.
But I just feel like this hand has just got to be like call here and like call brick rivers and just like lose.
Yeah, exactly. Which is
yeah.
It's like, why would I? That's like I did that to myself. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
So, but I do. I can't fold here. I think I can't fold here.
No, right? I think that would be this hand is like better to continue with than like aces.
Sure. Yeah, because
we like you have more out, you have more opportunity for improvement, and you like have really nice, like you block his top two pair, you block his straights, you block like any like kind of set of tens that Villain might like mix calling and raising with preflop. So,
yep, all fair. So, yep, we go ahead and call this raise.
I like that. Yeah, I really don't mind. I mean, that's kind of also, I guess, why I don't mind betting is because we can call a raise, and like, yeah, it sucks, but like. Our hand is our hand feels nice against like a player who is actually check raising the proper amount.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it is an interesting point you made that like it is better to like bet call with this hand than with like aces. So, okay.
Well, okay. So now the pot has gotten quite bloated. There's like $60 left, and you have like 30 ish in the pot.
Yeah, 32. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the river is. Pretty interesting. It's the king of diamonds, so the flush does brick.
Yeah, the only real thing that changes is sort of queen jack, which could have been a bluff on the turn gets there.
Yeah. Also, some sorts of hands like, you know, king eight of hearts now make top pair.
Sure, and of course, Villain was in the small blind in an unraked game, so
big blind.
So they should be defending with just a ton of, like, King X type hands, especially suited.
Yeah, I mean, he can also make kings up here sometimes, you know, King 6 suited type of
holding. Absolutely.
So I kind of think this card is bad for me, like, for my specific holding. I don't know about, I guess, range-wise, it's kind of interesting. Like, it's probably bad for my range, too. Like, the only way that this improves me is if I had specifically pocket kings or King 10.
Yeah, I think this hand is probably somewhat neutral. Because, like, it doesn't improve that many of Villain's hands. Like, I guess it did. I mean, it does improve Queen Jack, but, like, hands, like, when he calls on the flop, he probably has mostly, like, Queen Jack suited with either, like, a flush draw or a backdoor. I don't know that he's calling with, like, all his Queen Jack on the flop.
Sure.
So, you know, you can certainly have Queen Jack yourself also.
That's fair. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then you can have, like, King 10, King 9, possibly. Okay. So,
more neutral.
I would say it's somewhat neutral.
Yeah, I would say it is bad for my specific hand, though.
Sure. Yes, it's not great for your hand.
So, Villain does go ahead and bet again. Bets three quarters pots for $24.
Okay.
What do you think?
I don't know. I think this is kind of... I again kind of feel like it's a little bit... It's pretty close. Like, the king is definitely a bad card because, like, queen jack getting there is, like, not good for us because we don't interact with that hand at all.
Mm-hmm.
Which sucks. You know, if it was, like, another low card or even an ace, I'd probably be happy you're calling.
Oh, for sure. An ace is, like, you know, whatever. Is that, like, this card... is like, this is a bad river. Like, I think in the moment I didn't quite register that it was a bad river, but I, like, in hindsight, I think this is a pretty terrible river for our holding. Like, we could have something like jack 10 or queen 10, which likes this card a lot more because we don't have to worry about queen jack as much,
right?
We also obviously can't have king 10, which now makes kings up. We might have king 9, which I may play this way sometimes, possibly. I don't know. I have to think about that. I don't know, but we...
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, our particular hand feels like it's been significantly downgraded and may not be in sort of the top echelon of hands that we want to call with.
Yeah, like, I mean, aces, no heart, would we rather call with that here? Sort of interesting. Probably not, I guess.
Well, maybe. I mean, it does, like,
well, beat... Well, he can, like, have king, a king, which right. He could be value-owning himself with.
Right.
So... if we think he's, you know, smart enough to do that.
Which, I mean, these games, certainly. I mean,
yeah, it's
depending
possible.
On the player.
Yeah. So, I have no reads in this player at this point. Yeah. This has to be kind of in the lower tier. Like, even pocket queens, pocket jacks, we'd rather have, you know?
Cause we're yeah, so, certainly.
I think this is probably a fold. It's I mean, not okay. Having a heart is... is that as bad at this point also, or no, I'm sorry, it's good rather. It's good to not have a heart. So that's the one thing, but I don't know. I think we should lay this down, but
I think it's probably close to the border. I will say, cause we are getting a pretty decent price. You know, we only need to be good once every some amount.
Yeah. Wow. This is the analysis you choose.
30% maybe? 30%-ish?
Yeah, it's about 30%.
30% of the time. I don't know if this hand... I don't know.
Is this in the top 70% of hands we get here with? Like, I don't even know.
Yeah, that's probably pretty... It's probably close.
We have a number of busted heart draws we get here with, but I don't know if that's 30% of our range.
Right.
So I think this is probably just a fold. Which means obviously we called.
Okay.
And we get shown queen jack with a jack of hearts.
Yeah, and I guess that makes sense too. Is like queen jack offsuit with a heart probably does continue on the flop. So
yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
So then with this particular river, I think we do just want to be holding like a jack or a queen or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Jack or queen or overpair a king ourselves. You know, where villain might value on themselves. Like all those sorts of hands are great.
Yeah.
You know, some kind of two pair, 10-9, better to call with, I think, even. So.
Well, yeah. I think that makes sense. But, I mean, I think you have good analysis there. It's like, you know, it's great to have good analysis after you lose a hand.
Oh, so good. All right.
Very, very important. This is the Bankroll Burner special. We're great at analyzing the hands we lost. All right, well, as I said, my hand certainly has a theme. My hands certainly have a theme here, other than playing
Josh,
bad.
Wait, Josh, our listeners, they've made it halfway through the podcast. You know what that means?
I think that means that if you made it halfway, then you should listen to all our episodes, which really means you should make sure you like and subscribe and comment and tell us what donkeys we are and how you like to construct your ranges and keep track of them.
Thank you. All right, go ahead.
You're welcome. Anyway, we're back in 1-3. We're at the same table of 1-3, even. Same table of 1-3. We are in this hand, I believe, 500 effective. Nope. One sec. Let's see. 300 effective with the main villain. I have 500 with some other people, but the main villain, we're 300 effective. It's another questionable hand.
Fake 100 big blinds effective. Basically.
Yes, fake 100 big blinds effective is exactly right. And once again, or not once again, I guess last time it limped to me. This time it folds all the way around to hero in the low jack with 10-9 of diamonds. Opening this all day up to 15.
Yep, seems fine. I guess if you're like super shallow or something, maybe you don't open this, but yeah.
Yeah, but you know, we might anyway. Anyway, we once again get called by three players. The hijack calls, the small blind calls, and the big blind calls.
You know, it's interesting when this happens and you're suddenly such like have such a low SPR. I mean, I guess you have SPR of, I guess, 5-1 at this point, basically, which isn't that low. But when I do have these suited connectory type hands multi-way, you know, when they end up going multi-way, which I usually try to avoid, but happens a lot, I do try to play a lot of pot control on the flop and not really blow the pot so that we have the play on later streets that these hands sort of require. Does that make, do you find that that
is, yeah, I think that seems reasonable. And I mean, I think also there are certain flops, you know, and it is kind of okay to balance because sometimes there are flops that we just want to check, get it in, or like check raise and get it in on turns with hands like this, you know, but it can definitely be checking a lot. We're only out of position to one player, it's worth noting. So there probably are hands that we are, you know, there are boards that we are going to bet certain hands, you know, like if we flopped like two pair or some, or a straight, or, you know, you know, a really good hand, we definitely might do some betting as well.
Okay. So what does the flop come?
So the flop comes not one of those boards. It is 6 of clubs, 3 of hearts, 3 of spades.
So we flop a backdoor spade draw?
Nope, we have 10-9 of diamonds. We do not have a backdoor flush draw. We flop a backdoor double, you know, bad straight draw. And two overs.
Let me just say, it concerns me that there's more to this hand.
Well, here's why. The flop does check to me, and I do decide to check. I don't think there's anything to be done here, but check in this specific spot. And then the player behind me and the hijack checks as well. So the flop checks are out. So, you know, just don't worry. It's not like I'm starting.
And we win with 10 high.
The turn is going to roll off the 8 of hearts, which brings in a backdoor flush draw. And it also gives me a gutter.
It does give you a gutter.
And it checks to me again. Do you think we still do you think we still just check back and give up?
What would you be doing if you had an overpair on the flop?
Probably doing a lot of betting.
Okay.
Probably doing some checking because, you know, again, when the SPR is low, you can, you know, definitely can do some checking on the flop and just try and go bet, you know, bet big on turn and river.
Fair. What would you do if you had like 2 Broadway overs, you know, just two Broadway overs on the flop, I guess, would you bet with a backdoor and not without or something like that?
Probably still be doing a lot of checking.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess you don't have a ton of, like, hands. I don't know. I think this is probably okay. Like, if you want to bet here, like, would you rather bet just like with 2 overs here or like 2 Broadways here? Or would you rather bet with some kind of draw? Probably like you'd rather bet with some kind of draw. So I guess this is fine if you want to. I mean, I guess like how much value are you checking on the flop? It's sort of what I'm wondering about. Like how many hands do you check flop that then want to bet turn for value? It's like, is it just 8x?
And like definitely some overpairs, like especially the good ones, right? Like I'd probably be betting most of my like nines through jacks, but checking some amount of like queens, kings, and aces. You know, just
see, I wouldn't check much queens, kings, and aces necessarily. Well, actually, no, that's fair. Maybe you want someone to catch up or something. So, okay.
But and also, like, what do you, you know, what kind of bluffs do we have on the flop? It's mostly hands like 7-8 suited, like hands that kind of have better double backdoors, I guess. But we don't have like a lot of obvious bluffs on the flop.
Right. I mean, I think it's fine to have some bluffs on the turn, obviously. I'm just wondering, like, how many hands check flop and then bet turn for value? It seems like not a lot. So you just don't need that many bluffs. But, I mean, hell, like, you're not going to really have much, like, open enders here. You're just going to have gutters, so.
I'm definitely not. Right. I mean, well, I opened the low jack. Yeah, I probably shouldn't have any open enders.
So, and then you have flush draws here, obviously, that you
Yeah.
would have some of, but you probably don't want to bet all of those. So, I mean,
Yeah.
yeah, it's fine if you, I think this is fine bluff candidate if you, yeah, I think it's fine.
Yeah, which I so I do decide to bet. I mean, I kind of think, I mean, also it's just like I've gotten so many checks. I mean, this is to me here is also a much better bluff candidate than like Broadways or like Ace Highs or something, because it's possible that like all four of us are, you know, that all three of my opponents are just holding random Broadways.
Sure.
You know, and so
You unblock those.
being behind those also is like
Yeah.
a thing. So I decide to bet. What kind of sizing do you like taking multi-way on the turn?
Probably small. I don't think you need to bet very big here because like I would probably take like a 1/3 sizing because people are have very bottom heavy ranges here. Like most of their hands are just junk. Like you can easily fold out the king queens of the world for a third pot size bet. So.
Yeah, and maybe, I mean, if we're going a third, then maybe we should kind of just be bluffing. But it's awkward, right? Because we don't want to just bluff heart draws.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we do want some bluffs like this, but I don't know if we want like it's weird. Because if we're taking a small sizing, we want to be using less bluffs, and if we don't have that many value hands, then we really shouldn't have a lot of bluff combos.
Yeah, but no, I actually prefer having definitely having some of these mixed in to always just using heart draws because most of your heart draws should be given up when they miss on the river and you need to have some double barrels. It's like this hand does unblock the heart draws, which are call folds, so I think that, like, I might be considering taking, betting this hand on a lot of rivers. So,
Right. Well, I do decide to bet 20. I agree. I think, you know, first of all, we're multi-way, and second of all, the hands that we're trying to make fold on this street should fold, like, if I bet $5. So.
right, yeah, and this, like, no one's gonna. I just to reiterate my previous point, like, no one's gonna call you with 10-9 here, but they will call you with hearts. So. Like,
Right.
I really think this is a. I would plan to bet this on the river, you know, on most rivers.
Right. Well, the only the small blind calls, and the small blind's what I would call loose passive. She is definitely playing a lot of hands and is not showing a whole lot of aggression. So she makes the call. The pot is now going to be about 100. The effective stack is going to be 265-ish. And we're off to a river, which comes a pretty interesting card. I think it's the Jack of Hearts. And she checks once again.
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
So I
How
don't
much is in the
know.
pot again?
There's about $100 in the pot,
Yeah, okay.
and there's 265 behind. I think this was kind of a weird spot to me, I guess, because I was thinking like, ah, well, the heart draw got there. That's obviously a lot of, you know, some portion of the hands that she's calling with, and also probably some quite a few of my bluffs on the turn.
Get there.
Right, are also heart draws, yes. And so it's kind of a weird spot. I mean, obviously, you know, if I bet and she like raises, you know, no question. But do we want to bet here, like, or do we just want to give up with like most of our hands? The other thing is, if she has a hand like 6x or 8x, those hands might be a little bit harder pressed to call down here.
Right.
But our particular hand blocks a bunch of 8x, but also blocks a bunch of Jack X.
Yeah,
Not
I
that I
mean,
would expect her to
what
call with
Jack
like,
X does she have here, though,
yeah,
right?
not that I would expect her to ever call with Jack 10 or Jack 9 on the turn. So I don't know. What do you think? This was kind of a funky spot for me.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we have to have some give ups, but we also have to have some double barrels. So, one thing, this is one of those spots where a lot of our bluffs get there, right? So we have a ton of value. So we don't need to have as many give ups as normal. So actually, I think if we were, let's say we were betting every, 10-9, although you don't have that many 10-9s, actually, you only have 10-9 suited. You don't have any 10-9 off, right?
Right,
So,
definitely.
I mean, yeah, you just have so few bluffs on the turn.
And by the
Like,
way, to our listeners.
you probably aren't bluffing enough on the turn in theory. So you probably don't really need to give up, honestly. Like, I probably think you could just like you have so few bluffs that you end up here with, I think it's just like great to blast, if you had a flush here, I assume you'd be taking some sort of like at least 3/4 type of sizing. I would think that'd
Yeah,
be
probably around 3/4. I mean, I don't know that I'd want to like bet huge.
Yeah, right.
Because, like, again, it's just a weird, like, the board has definitely changed a lot, and it's going to be tough. You know, I feel like, again, we're going to get some overfolds if we start betting super big.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, like, if you had a flush here or whatever and you bet, like, three quarters, like, is she going to call three-quarter bet with an eight? Like, maybe not.
Right. But so maybe. Like, I mean, maybe that's okay to be betting that.
I think an eight is marginal, you know. Then I think you could just bet three quarters here, and I think you're going to get a lot of folds from most holdings, that most non-flush holdings.
And by the way, to our listeners, I think what Mike was just describing is kind of ties back to our turn conversation about why it is important to mix in some sort of junkier bluffs than just flush draws. Because if you're only bluffing with flush draws, then you don't have any bluffs left on the river, and you're just always value betting.
Yeah.
So. Which I'm sure most of you know, because you're better educated on poker than we are.
Okay. So did you bet here?
Yep, I bet 75.
Nice.
Which is three-quarter spot. I kind of figured, like, I just need to be blasting here because, like, this is, like, one of the, you know, I agree with you. It's probably, I mean, do you think this is, a turn where we could find bluffs with, like, the low pocket pairs? Or do you think we're, like, good often enough that we don't have to? Because, like, it's kind of interesting if we bet, like, pocket fours on the turn. That kind of, like, cleans up a bunch of equity also, but I don't know if that's, like, good.
Yeah, I might bet pocket fours on the turn, like, as a sort of, like, as a combo bet. You know, you might get some value from worse, and you might fold out better. So, like, well, you probably aren't folding out better, actually. So, I think actually it's just for protection, really. So I think I would bet.
But then would you double barrel a hand like pocket fours here since we don't have enough bluffs?
And turn it into a bluff.
Like if we have pocket fours with a heart, like would this be a good time to turn, you know, to kind of follow through on the river?
Yeah, I think so.
So that's another kind of, that's a good another sub-segment of bluffs. And even then we're probably still not bluffing enough.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those things where, like, the solver sort of is, like, way better at playing these types. Like, the solver is, like, infinitely better at these types of boards than humans are and pretty much always will be. So, it's like, you know. But anyway, yeah, I think this is fine. I think you can blast with almost all your hands here, and you're fine. So
perfect. Well, I get snapped off by 9-7 of hearts.
All right, well.
But, you know, fine.
Yeah, that's just what it is. Yeah, I think I like the way you played the hand, actually, pretty much.
Oh, wow. I was going to say, you know, so the theme here is just me bluffing and getting just snapped by, like, you know, good hands, so. Cool.
Sometimes you bluff into strong hands, that's poker, unless you're Mike Possible.
That's the point, right? Sometimes I tell people that at the table when they, like, look at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, oh, hey, you know, if you bluff and you never get called, you're not bluffing enough.
It's good advice for folks at the poker table who need your advice, Josh. So.
Yeah. Well, it's more of a, you know, make them all think that I'm some crazy kid.
Right, yeah.
Which I guess based on results, I kind of am.
Yeah, it's an accurate table image. All right, well, to take us home here, I got another hand from our online home game. In this particular hand, we are going to be $75 effective once again with the main villain, different villain. And in this hand, so it's 25 cent, 50 cent, 150 bigs effective. And in this hand, the low jack limps. And I'm on the button with ace of spades, six of hearts, which is some trash. I go ahead and make it $2 because I'm on the button versus a limper.
Yeah, I don't mind it at all.
And it folds back to said limper, who calls.
Nice.
Yep. And
we love going heads up. We love isolating limpers.
Yeah, and, you know, I will say, for me, it's a big problem, like, when it comes to solvers, is, like, I'm so bad at constructing ranges for limpers that, like, I don't really know that I could run a hand like this through a solver. It's just, like, yeah. I don't really know what they have. Like, people, and that's a leak in my game, by the way, is that I'm so bad at constructing ranges for limpers. It's, like, I don't know, like, what the heck are people limp calling with? Like, I just don't know the answer.
And I will say, I do think it's very player specific because, like, some players will limp call, like, any two cards with moderate connectivity.
Yeah.
And other players will, like, limp call hand, like, an opening range.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so it really depends.
is like a, like for me, I was playing in a game the other day where like a guy kept limp calling like multiple times with ace jack off. Somehow it just happened that way. And I was like, what's going on?
Right. So it, and like other times someone limp calls and you get to showdown and they have like 7-5 offsuit.
Yeah. Right. So. Right. Exactly. I think my favorite is like, I did once see a player limp call with kings, which was so crazy to me when they got to showdown. I was like, cause like people limp re-raise with kings, you know, but limp calling with kings, I mean, that is just next level, like, amazing.
Yeah, I had a guy, I mean, yeah, the limp re-raising never fails to amaze me. My favorite thing that happened recently was a guy, like, forgot to straddle, and then he looked at his hand, and he's like, oh, I'll just make it six anyway. And then, like, I 3-bet, and then he just, like, massive 4-bet, and I was like, yep, this is, like, yes. And I think I even said to him, because he was kind of, like, he was clearly more of a think, like, somewhat of a thinking player, like, very action-y, but, like, you know, new. I was like, oh, yes, clearly in the history of poker, this play has been weak before. And he laughed.
Yeah, very good. Oh, wow, I'll just raise anyway. Ah, I guess I'll 4-bet.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, what's the flop? Sorry to.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a bit off topic here. So we have a flop of ace of diamonds, 5 of clubs, 5 of spades.
Nice. Ace, 5, 5, rainbow, and we've got an ace.
Yep. Villain checks.
Okay.
As one might expect. What do you want to do here in our spot?
I probably want to bet small. Most of the time, probably pretty happy to bet small.
Do you think we're doing that with like all of our hands?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think I've been trying to follow a little bit more of the sort of school of thought that on these, which might even just be like objective, I honestly don't know, but you know, on these types of paired boards, you should try and sort of play, really like kind of treat trips as like the nuts and like, mm-hmm. you know, play around, kind of play by that logic where like your bluffs should block 5x and like be, you know, be kind of connected around that in this case. But that said, I still think we can value bet like somewhat wide. Like I think we can value bet here, but like I probably wouldn't see bet like random broadways all that often, but I think we can see bet like a lot of like suited connectors and stuff.
Right. That's fair. I mean, do you think that we should be protecting our checking range a bit with some of our weaker ace-x or I mean, I think, although like certainly we could have like kings here, which I think is a pretty straightforward check, or like, you know, even queens, like we could be checking those hands reasonably well. But I do think that like having some ace-x in our checking range is good. I don't know. Maybe it might be too nitty against a limper though.
Well, the other thing I would say is if we're going to check back ace six offsuit specifically, I would prefer to do it when the six does not block 6-5 suited. So like in this case, right, we have the six of hearts and the five of hearts isn't on the board. So like that's one less five that our opponent can have. But if we have like ace six with the six of clubs, then that doesn't really subtract the number of combos. So
it's like because we're blocking some nutted combos, it's better to bet.
Right. If we're going to check back some, if we are going to mix with A6, and maybe it's fine to just check back all the A6 because it's like it's not that strong and we do want to have some aces in our checking range, then we could definitely check this back too. But if we're only checking back some, then that's probably how I would decide which ones to check back.
Well, here's a question for you. Do you think that you would take this, like ever take our holding for 3 streets?
Probably not. No.
Okay. So then it's okay. That's fair. I mean, I think that's probably, well, I mean, versus a, like a limp passive type of player, maybe we're supposed to though.
Yeah. But because like, what are we getting called by? You know? Cause like if we bet 3 streets, our line just looks so much like ace-x.
Right. But you know, are we getting called by like non-believing, like, sevens or something? I don't know.
But also, given the nature of the board, I feel like I'm probably okay like checking back turn a lot.
Like betting. Why is it better to check back turn than flop in your mind?
I don't know. I guess we can check back flop. I feel like we're just gonna get called on the flop by like a lot of hands, like a lot of those medium pocket pairs and stuff. and even like junk, and then if we check back turn and the junk and it like doesn't improve, they might even like bluff on a lot of rivers. But I think that might also be the case if we check back flop and they just like start blasting turn and river. If we check back flop, I think we're kind of also committed to like calling turn and river.
That's true, for sure, for sure, for sure.
Yeah. So it's probably fine either way.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I did land on a check here. This was like one of the streets I was most curious about with you in this hand, because I did wonder like are we, you know, is this too nitty? Like, is it just like, you know, I'm playing against a donk here probably, so might as well just try and get three streets from somebody. Like, I don't know, but
I think it's tough. I do think it's tough to get three streets here, and so I think checking flop with this particular rolling is probably fine.
Okay. All right. So we do check, and the turn rolls off the ace of clubs. So we make a boat.
Oh, nice. We have the nuts, basically.
Basically.
Okay.
If our opponent has pocket fives, they are going to get our stack.
Yes.
And they do go ahead and bet $2 here.
Okay.
What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, again, it's a spot where I could probably go either way between like betting and checking, or betting and or raising and calling.
I don't think we can check.
Because I feel like our opponent, like it's tough for our opponent to have like a real hand here. So like if we raise, are we just going to like let him off the hook versus like inducing him to fire another barrel once we check back flop? Like it's probably another spot that's somewhat close.
Interesting. I mean, if he has a five, you know, we're really missing out by not raising here, of course.
Right. But if he has, like, I don't know. If, like, this is a villain, who, like, it is weird, right? Because this is a villain who limp called pre-flop. And so their strategy may not be the most solid among the player pool. And so, I mean, not that yours is either, but...
That's for sure.
But, you know, does that mean that they're... they see weakness and they're just going to go blast, and if we, you know, with like way too many hands,
right?
Or does it mean that they are playing a little bit snugger and they're only really betting like strong hands, at which, you know, this is kind of why I say it's player dependent. It's like kind of nice to get to showdown against this player once and get a little bit of insight.
Yeah, right. We don't have any reason this person at the moment, other than they've been doing a decent amount of limping. You know, if they had something like eights here, do you think they will call a raise?
Maybe. They might call a raise, but they probably are not calling a river barrel, I would think.
But they probably also aren't betting river.
True. So, maybe. Maybe. I mean, we could definitely make like a small raise here, because I think we probably just have a lot of value.
Yeah, we have some amount of ASACs. Like, here's an interesting one. Would you raise here with queens? Probably not, right?
Probably not.
It's too thin.
It might be too... I don't know. It might be too thin.
Yeah, it's interesting. Because, yeah, like, they can't... I think they can be making this play with, like, sixes through nines. Presumably they don't limp tens. But, like, sixes through nines.
Right.
I agree. So
maybe it does just make sense to raise.
Yeah,
like, my thought is just like, are they also doing this with just like 10-9?
Right, just absolute trash. Yeah, it's like, you know, and we prevent them from then bluffing a future street, and you know we miss out on that value. But I do think that, like, first of all, we want when he has a five, we want to maximize, and right. I do think that we may be able, particularly from a apparently passive, probably more passive type player given the limp. You know, we could maybe get more river calls than we ought to be able to, even if we do raise here. So if we do something like, you know, exploitatively bet quite small on the river or whatever.
And maybe it does just make sense to raise here just so that we make sure we make enough from the five, because villain also may not like double barrel river with all their junk. You know, they might like shut down a lot. So maybe
they will. Yeah.
So like maybe we are just going to get the most DV by raising here. Just on the off chance they do have a five or like a pocket pair that they've just decided to call down with. Maybe that just means, you know, because of that and because they might not be double barreling with all their bluffs, then maybe we just try and make the most.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought in game. And I do think I did only raise to $6. I wonder if I should have gone a little bigger.
Maybe. I mean,
how many, I guess we are betting a good amount of ace x on the flop, so how much value do we have here? But how many bluff, I mean, I guess we like,
what
we
are our raise, bluffs here?
Right, I mean, we could raise with some club draws, maybe we could raise with, like, you know, some suited broadways that picked up a club draw, some hands like jack 10 that, like, you know, have some decent blocking properties.
Yeah, it's weird.
It is weird, because, like, a lot of our hands that kind of block 5x, we'd probably be betting a lot on the flop, right? Like 7-6 suited, things, sure. Things like that. So I you could probably go somewhat big. I don't know. Depends on how many ace-x you're checking.
Yeah, we're not doing this, because this line is not going to be very common, we could probably bet bigger. I think that's fair. I think I could raise more. But so I didn't. I only raised 6, and Dylan does call. So.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yep. It's very good, because it almost certainly means they don't have an ace, so...
Okay.
And the river rolls off the jack of clubs.
Okay.
Villain checks. And now is a question of how big do we go?
Right. It is interesting. It is interesting. I feel like it's interesting, right? Because the flush gets there, but I don't know how much that affects things, just because it is like a double paired board.
Right, and if we were bluffing with a club draw, are we gonna? What are we gonna do on this?
Probably like check. We probably like check back.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, what the heck? Double barrel bluffs. Like, that's what I was thinking about. Is like, what am I bluffing turn with, and then bluffing river with? Like, here is like 6-7 or something. I don't even know.
Yeah, this is probably another spot for, like, you know, the solver, where like the solvers would like be much better at it, you know, because they're probably, you know, the solver probably says you're just like supposed to bet slivers of like everything on the turn, you know, just like raise little tiny bits of like every single unpaired hand you have, which is just not feasible. So you probably just like pick some hands that like have pretty good, like decent blockers to like ace x and just go with it, you know.
But we don't have a bluff here, of course. We have the effective nuts. So what kind of sizing should we take with our ace?
Well, I mean, I guess I don't really know. I have not studied double paired boards a whole lot. I guess maybe like if we're targeting like pocket pairs, then we probably would want to go on the smaller side of our bet sizing. If we're targeting like 5x, I mean, then we can obviously go somewhat big. But maybe we kind of like split the difference and go like 3/4.
Yeah, I think that probably,
especially if we don't have a lot of bluffs, then we definitely have to go a little bit smaller.
Yeah, I think probably like a half pot size bet is probably in order here, because we just don't have that many bluffs, so we need to make it pretty enticing.
Well, what's kind of sick is that if we go half pot here, it almost does feel like we should have check raised kings and queens, or not check raised, but just raised like kings and queens on the turn and gone half pot here. Because it feels like when we're betting half pot, like we kind of are trying to like give him the odds to like call, get curious and call with like the nines through sixes.
Well, maybe we could split our river size here. Like, do we maybe with kings and queens go a half pot, but then like we don't have enough bluffs here to have a split river size.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I don't know. Maybe we are supposed to thin raise kings and queens on the turn, and then
it's just because what I'm thinking when we take the small river sizing is like it's so like call me with nines. So maybe we should actually have hands that like want him to call with nines.
Yeah,
but maybe the jack.
I wonder if he might call with nines versus a large bet.
Right, but it's also weird where like the jack rolling off like an overcard to pretty much all his pairs. Does that mean that he's just not going to call as often because like a lot of our bluffs might contain a jack, and now like even our bluff, like now we really don't have any bluffs that are like against that part of his range. So should we just go bigger and basically say, well, this jack, it means we're not going to get paid by nines through sixes, so do we just take a large sizing and target like flushes and fives?
Right, and then versus specifically those hands, what size do we want to take? Like, is it overbet?
I don't know, maybe not, maybe like pot.
Okay, well, I did bet pot, so
okay, well, maybe we landed on the right answer, or maybe we're both stupid.
Maybe we're both really stupid. I mean, because he just can't fold those hands, so maybe we just want to target those at this point and just be like pot. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, do we like
maybe,
jam?
Maybe we can overbet. Like, I mean, how sick would it be? Maybe we could. What if we could jam? Could we jam?
That's
can
what
we,
I just said. Yeah. Can we just like rip it here? That's
kind of interesting. I kind of wonder if we could. If we could just be like, well, villain has a five. If villain has a five, we're just gonna like put it in the worst spot ever and jam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I did bet pot, and after a lengthy tank, we do get calling chip, so we do win the maximum win. I don't know what villain had, but we do win the maximum.
Okay, nice. I mean, who knows, right? Maybe he did call with a pocket pair. Maybe he did get curious and call.
Possible, but I think to your point though, like especially with the jack coming out, it might be less probable. So yeah, I kind of wonder if jamming is the play there. Just freaking stick it in his face.
Yeah, like maybe we can take a smaller sizing if like the river rolls off like a deuce and like he's just gonna call and then like. Right, maybe we get to like raise like thin value raise, like raise super thin on the turn with like our good pocket pairs and ace x, and then if the river's low, we can just take a small sizing with all those hands, and if the river's high, then we just bet big with like our ace x and some bluffs, and we like check back kings and queens.
Yeah,
I kind of like gonna get more because like then it's tough to get value from worse with kings and queens.
No, I think that's good. I think that's the way.
Well, look at us constructing real ranges.
I know. Imagine if we could do this in game. We'd be unstoppable.
So hard.
Well, everybody, you've wasted another hour and 20 minutes of your precious life listening to Bankroll Burners, and we really appreciate that very much. Please like the video. Please subscribe to the channel. Please comment about our skills, our immense, huge, throbbing skills.
Or, by the way, if there's anything, you know, that you guys would like to see on the podcast or as part as a new segment, anything like that, please let us know. We're always open to new suggestions.
Always.
You guys are the lifeblood.
The lifeblood of Bankroll Burners. All right, everybody. Have a good evening.
Thank you.